Money Sense Time, Brent Loux with you again this week, joined on the phone by Riley Sittler, Associate Portfolio Manager with PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth. And if you've been listening to our show in past, you recognize Riley as being the advisor at PWM Financial Services, Inc., who tends to specialize into the financial, tax, accounting, and estate planning issues that farmers face when dealing with their financial lives. And he joins us on the phone. Welcome, Riley.
Hey, good morning, Brett.
Good to have you back with us today. I know you're out hunting. Good luck in the search for that big muley buck that you're looking for. Talk a little bit about what we're going to be dealing with here today.
Yeah, going to be a first for me sitting in blaze orange with a rifle beside me doing a show on Money Sense. But yeah, no, it's always great to be back on the show. And you know, I hope you don't mind, but I did decide to switch from the narrow farm focus show today, as I do think most people are, you know, pretty much ready to put farming and Harvest 2021 behind them. But the topic that I do have today, it is a little bit more broad reaching and is going to, you know, absolutely impact every single listener out there, as, you know, most, if not all of us, are members of the Canada Pension Plan. And if you do have a defined benefit pension plan, like the SAS Teacher Retirement Pension, the SHEP, SAS Health Pension Plan, or MEP, the Municipal Employee Pension Plan, you may find today's topic fairly relevant as well.
I think they will. Changes to CPP and what it's going to mean to you and also to people holding defined benefit pension plans. We're back with more Money Sense in 2 minutes. Welcome back to our Money Sense program. Riley Sittler joining us from the offices of PWM Private Wealth Counsel on the topic of CPP and defined benefit pension plans. And I'm guessing, Riley, that many of our farming clients may have a spouse who is a teacher or a nurse as well that may relate to what we're talking about here today.
Yeah, definitely, Brent. And, you know, those jobs are often, you know, the staples of small towns. You're right. It's kind of the ubiquitous, you know, employer for lots of farm and small town couples in which the spouse would have an off-farm job, typically in the school or the hospital. So, yeah, absolutely right there.
Okay, let's take it away.
You know, as I mentioned, I'm out hunting today, but I was actually on my way back home to Wilkie, Saskatchewan last weekend to go hunting with my dad. And, you know, I was trying to think of a topic to speak about. And later that night, I ended up reading the article that came out where the Government of Canada essentially released their projected increase for the 2022 yearly maximum pensionable earnings amount in Canada and the increased contribution rates that we'll be making into the Canada Pension Plan. So now I realize, you know, to the average person, that's probably not that interesting, relevant, or mostly just Greek, but I don't think most people are aware of the fact that each and every single Canadian who earns more than $64,900 next year is actually now going to have an additional $333 come off their paychecks throughout the course of the year. And that's over and above the $3,100 that they paid last year into the Canada Pension Plan. So I just want to discuss a few things today about these figures and how they are, you know, affecting a lot more than just increasing our source deductions off of our paychecks.
Okay, well, tell us more.
You know, in order to make sense of these figures, I'll tell you a little bit about how our contributions into the Canada Pension Plan works. There are two figures here which are applicable, and that would be, one, what we call the YMPE, or the Yearly Maximum Pensionable Earnings, and number two, our contribution rate. So to kind of explain what those are, each and every single year, the Government of Canada releases what's called the Yearly Maximum Pensionable Earnings Amount, or the YMPE. And that figure essentially dictates the average wage in Canada. Secondly, we have the contribution rate, which is the percentage up to the YMPE that we pay in CPP premiums each year. So, for example, last year the YMPE was set at $61,600, and our contribution rate was 5.45%. So in order to calculate how much we pay into the CPP, you take that YMPE amount, the $61,600, you subtract what we call this basic exemption amount, which for the longest time has just been $3,500, and that's essentially the income that we're able to earn before we pay any tax whatsoever. So you multiply the total of that by the contribution rate, that 5.45%, and we come out with $3,166. And that's just basically the amount to which we and our employers pay into the CPP each year. So any income earned over and above that YMPE, we actually don't pay any premiums into the CPP. So if you're a person who, let's say, earned more than $61,600 last year, then you may notice that at a certain point of the year, your checks are higher. And that is just because you earned up to and over that YMPE, and you no longer pay premiums over and above that amount of income.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we kind of have a baseline understanding of how this works, what I want to talk about is how these numbers have changed over the last few years. So since 2003, up until 2018. The contribution rate going into the CPP remained unchanged at 4.95%. So although wages were going up, and, you know, wages always go up with inflation, and consequently this YMPE amount, we were paying the same amount into the Canada Pension Fund on a dollar earned basis. But then what ended up happening is in 2019, the government increased the contribution rate from 4.95 to 5.1%. And then the next year to 5.25%, 5.45% the year after, and now, as just announced, 5.7% next year. So presumably, if the, you know, this YMPE is the average wage in Canada, and knowing that the median income in Canada is almost always lower than the average due to the phenomenon of this, you know, the higher concentration in wealth to fewer numbers of people in Western and developed economies, this basically means that more people in Canada earn less than $64,900 than those who do. And those who do not are now paying 15% more into the CPP program than in 2018 for each and every single paycheck they get. So, and, you know, the funny thing about this is those who actually earn more aren't as disadvantaged on a relative basis. So in either case, with all of that aside, not only are these contribution rates going up, but the thing that I want to talk about today is that, you know, the YMPE, this average wage in Canada that we're using to calculate this, is increasing much higher than our average wage growth is in this country. Because, again, that YMPE number is supposedly set to reflect the average wage in Canada.
So what you're saying is this number, which is supposed to represent the average wage growth in Canada, it's growing higher than the actual wage growth. And because of that now, our CPP premiums are higher as if we were making that much more, even though we're not. Have I got that right?
Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, you're paying... you're paying more of a percentage of that higher income. So, and I'm going to be getting to these numbers soon, but before I do, I just have to clarify something. This is not all unexpected. So the government announced a CPP enhancement program years ago that essentially foreshadowed all of this. And we did know it was coming down the pipeline when it comes to the contribution rates. We knew we were going to be paying more as a percentage of income. And they're saying that we will now essentially be receiving more for those of us who have paid this higher amount now, once we enter into retirement. One thing to note as well, that a lot of people typically ask about, which and is fairly unknown, is that in reality, the Canada Pension Plan is actually one of the world's most renowned asset managers, and they've actually done a spectacular job in protecting and growing money. I know many people nowadays are concerned about the debt load we have as a nation, and, you know, I get asked all the time if the CPP would, you know, serve as even a potential backstop in order to get our way out of this, you know, debt issue our government has created for us. But I would just say, you know, it'd probably be fairly unpopular politically, and I'm not even sure that they'd have the latitude constitutionally to do such a thing. But, you know, and again, you know, my opinion, in my mind, they've kind of already impaired our retirement, as I'm sure my grandkids will probably still be paying higher taxes in order to recoup the amount of debt that they've taken on as a result of the pandemic with, you know, little or no benefit relative to other G7 nations. So it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. But I think, you know, just to recap, I think it's fair that if we want to provide more of a security blanket to Canadians in general by increasing their CPP contribution rates with a commensurate increase in retirement income from the plan, you know, then I think most people can go along with that in principle. But again, what I'm going to talk about today is the troubling fact that, you know, we have this increase in this yearly maximum pensionable earnings amount, which doesn't necessarily correlate to wage inflation.
You're listening to Money Sense. We're back after this break. Welcome back, Money Sense. Brent Laux with Riley Sittler. We're on the topic of Canada Pension Plan changes and how the amount that's taken off your check each year continues to grow and how that may potentially impact people who have other pensions. Talk to us more about this yearly maximum pensionable earnings here, Riley.
Yeah, you know, so like I mentioned at the start of the show, when I came back to the office after that hunting trip, I wanted to take a look at the trend of how this YMPE has increased compared to average wage growth in Canada. And, you know, to be fair, as you can assume, it's been a couple weird years looking at statistics when it comes to the economy, and much of the data is very subjective. I even, you know, I was listening to you and John Gormley talk this morning about, you know, people in retirement and the statistics. So, you know, it is kind of hard to discern through a lot of these numbers, but, you know, one of the things that I took a look at was a report by Morneau Chappell, in which they calculated the 2020 base salary increase being roughly 2.6% in 2020, and a projected another 2.6 for 2021. Well, these YMPE amounts, which are supposed to be based on the wage growth of previous years, in the last 2 years have been 4.94% and 5.36%. So what this means is that the government is using wage growth factors that are double what is reported as the actual wage growth when deciding how much we are going to be sending to them in CPP premiums.
That just seems absolutely ridiculous. Now, I understand that COVID has been fortunate for a few, but mainly unfortunate for most when it comes to their financial situation. But with all of that being said, you're telling me that we're still factoring in over 10% wage growth in the last 2 years when it comes to how we're calculating CPP premiums. So as a result, we're now paying a whole lot more in CPP premiums?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when you take into consideration the higher than wage growth, you know, yearly maximum pensionable earnings and the increased contribution rates, we're actually now paying roughly $900 per year more, or $1,800 more if you're self-employed, than we were in 2018.
Now, you mentioned as well that this not only affects all of us as members of the Canada Pension Plan, but it also then starts to affect many other pension programs that we have here in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, To illustrate, I I'm just going to have to talk a little bit about how these pensions work as well. So, and I know it's been a very numbers-heavy program today, but please bear with me for a little bit while longer here. So this YMPE amount factors into these pensions in two ways. We account for it when it comes to how we calculate how much you pay into your plan, and then again when it comes to how much you take out. So, for example, for all the nurses and other members who work within the healthcare system out there, if you belong to the SHEP, the Sask Health Employment Pension Plan, you know, you're currently contributing 8.1% of your salary up to the YMPE and 10.7% for any amount earned over this YMPE. So in actuality, you're paying 8.1% on the first $64,900 of your income and 10.7% on any amount over and above that. So while technically a higher pensionable earnings would mean that, you know, you're going to be paying less into your pension plan by a very small amount, where this is really going to affect you and is when you start to collect it. Or, you know, let's say if you're an individual who has paid into this thing your whole life and intend on collecting it soon, these changes might concern you. Because when you collect from these plans, the SHEP, the MEP, the Sask Teacher Retirement Pension Plan, you also have a formula for how much you are pulling from it based on a variety of factors. And it's usually based on how many years you've worked, the highest average salary over a course of time, typically 5 years, and then a multiplication factor based on that salary amount over and above this YMPE. And again, just for an example, in that SHEP pension, you collect 1.4% on your earned salary up to the pensionable earnings amount, and then 2% on your salary over and above that amount.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see what you're getting at here. As this yearly maximum pension amount goes up, you go from getting credit for your years worked multiplied at a factor of 2 to having that factor drop down to 1.4, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so actually the teacher pension formula is 1.3% under pensionable earnings and 2% over. So they're affected even more. So again, just to illustrate this, if you retired in 2018 and your highest average earnings was $80,000 per year, you'd be using $58,700 in the portion of your pension calculated multiplied by 1.4%, and the remaining $21,000 and change would be multiplied by 2%. But now, only 2 years later, it's going to be the $64,900 multiplied at 1.4%, and roughly only $15,000 multiplied at that 2%. So the simplest way to put it is that you can look at this pension formula, and the way the formula works is that you will receive more pension for having made more money over and above that pensionable earnings. But as they start jacking this amount up by over 5% per year, slowly over time, you'll unfortunately have that formula applying a lower multiple to higher amounts of your income. And unless we're giving our nurses, teachers, and municipal employees 5% raises per year, then this policy is just going to end up hurting a lot of regular working class people. So, you know, we're now paying drastically more into our CPP, receiving less public pension benefits, all things equal. And, you know, I hope the CPP benefits received in this enhancement are worth it, because, you know, although they are trying to secure us a better retirement, they're certainly not helping us get ahead in the meantime.
Interesting take on this. So someone listening may say, well, what could I do about it? Is there anything people could be doing with their pensions differently to change the situation?
So the defined benefit pensions that we have for public employees are still, you know, very much the crown jewels of the pension world when it comes to working in Saskatchewan. They pay very well, and for the most part, they're well-funded. The other good thing is they have the backstop of the government to ensure that they'll be there in the long term. So, you know, most people don't have the option to commute them into cash values. And if they did, it still probably wouldn't make sense for them to do so. What I would look into, however, is that if you do have a pension plan with a private company or a pension plan with a publicly traded entity, and if that pension plan is a defined benefit plan, or in other words, you know, as opposed to telling you how much you have in the plan dollar-wise, it reads to tell you how much you will receive per month, mm-hmm. I would just basically do the math and see if it's worth commuting. And again, what commuting is, you know, when they give you the option to either take the lifetime income or a lump sum. You know, most people and most pension plans are now actually moving away from this defined benefit program because, you know, they're all mostly incepted during a period of time of high interest rates where, you know, there was a high degree of certainty to make relatively risk-free returns at higher rates of interest back then. But now that interest rates are at all-time lows, they present a lot of risk for these companies. So many companies are essentially offering to either buy out their employees or pay them to leave the plan. And what's really going to be the difference maker here is how high they value your exit out of the plan. You know, something that I often do for folks is I calculate their break-even return needed to opt in or stay in their plan. So, you know, for example, sometimes the cash flow that your company is willing to give you is 5% of what the lump sum is. And for most people, a risk-free 5% is better than trying to get 7% in the markets. Mm-hmm. Often, though, that number ends up being lower, and they'll maybe give you a lifetime income of 2% of what the lump sum offer is. In that case, personally, I'd be wanting to take the lump sum and invest that myself.
Any risk here? These pension plans, are they locked? Are they solid? Is there any risk of these companies maybe going under and losing a pension?
Well, and you know, that's kind of where, you know, I get into the public versus private pension, because you're right. If your company is sponsoring their own pension plan, and if that pension plan is a defined benefit plan, then yes, it's an absolute possibility that there'd be some risk there. Most companies are highly integrated with the success or failure of these plans. If the plan returns are poor, companies will actually have to take their business profits to fund an underfunded pension. But conversely, if they do well, they could theoretically take that surplus and move it back into their operations. So in the event that, let's say, your company enters bankruptcy, that pension could absolutely go away, or it could be collateral to the bank plan. So you definitely do have some company-specific risk there.
Okay, somebody who's listening right now that's maybe covered by one of these existing pension plans you mentioned and they'd like to get more information, what do they need to do, Riley?
They can always reach us at the office. Phone number is 306-975-9500, or look at us on our website at www.pwmprivatewealth.com.
Hey, good luck with the hunt today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is Money Sense. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hegedus and Kevin Hawkinson, portfolio managers for IA Private Wealth. This is not an official program of IA Private Wealth, and the opinions expressed during this show are those of the portfolio managers only and do not necessarily reflect those of IA Private Wealth. IA Private Wealth, Inc. is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. IA Private Wealth is a trademark and business name under which IA Private Wealth, Inc. operates. This show is intended for general information only. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your particular circumstances. PWM Financial Services, Inc. is an independent and separate company from IA Private Wealth, Inc. You've been listening to Money Sense.